Hello, folks. Welcome to podcast number 19. Before DJ Mondo left, and he did leave on his own accord, he wanted us to play a particular file, which we are still going to do. I don't know which all contact information he gave, but I do know that the email address will be not available for you to email. And if it is, he may not get it. But if you enjoy what you've heard dealing with airports and travel, which is what this podcast is going to be about, then please feel free to leave feedback and feel free to ask questions, and let's start a dialogue on how we can be secure and we can get the help we need. The following is a presentation taken from the Mexican Melting Pot on 98.6 The Mix that DJ Mondo was a part of before he chose to leave. So you will hear music in the background, as that's how he usually broadcasts. But it is a full-blown discussion, and we hope that you will enjoy. Find full contact information on whitecanetravel.com for me, and I will be back on another edition of the podcast real soon. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Armando. Today I'm presenting to you Airport Security and Airlines. This has to do with my recent experience when I took a trip to Arkansas for a camping excursion. This was recorded on the Mexican Melting Pot Show on August 4th, 2016. For more information, you can check out 986themix.com/podcast and search for the Mexican Melting Pot. I hope you enjoy what I had to share, and feedback is appreciated. You may submit feedback at the following email address, DJMondo, MANDO, at 986themix.com. Sit back and enjoy the show. Airport Security and Airlines. I haven't flown since 2001, right before the September
Oh,
11
wow. So
attacks.
that would be a big change for you.
Yes, it
Wow.
would. So that's why I'm glad Herbie
Well,
is saying
you, the
no.
last time you flew, you could actually, you still kept your shoes on during security.
Actually, I still did. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh.
So my sister dropped me off at the airport on the 16th because I had a midnight flight. And I was escorted by one of the skycaps. And I don't know what they did, but they had it to where I just went through security. They didn't say anything about my belt or my cane, because in the past I do remember having my cane taken away. But they didn't do anything this year about it, or this time around. They didn't do anything about my belt, because I do remember having to take off my belt before. And I do remember having to take off my shoes, which they did not have to do this year. Instead, what they do is they have you walk with your arms straight out in front of you through the metal detectors. Of course, your fanny pack and anything else goes into the bins. That hasn't changed. So they had me go through security through the metal detectors, of course, with the security person standing in front of me, directing me where to go, with my arms straight out. That way she can catch me, she or he can catch me. And what they did was they ran swabs on the palm of my hand, my fingers, and another security person ran swabs through the inside of my shoe and my shoes. I guess they call it some sort of a test swab. So, Herbie or Chanel, what was your experience like? I know you said that was a big change for me back in 01.
Yeah, I've been flying lots since then. I've always taken off my shoes, but one thing, sometimes they do have me they do the swabs. Am I on my hands because I wear an insulin pump?
It's Herbie that's breaking up. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I wear an insulin pump, and so I'll tell them, you know, I'm wearing this pump so in case their detectors go off. It hasn't, but they will have me swab my hands. Now, one thing I do not tell them, I usually put my Braille sense in my backpack. Now, once my dad took me through airport security, and he was really anxious, and he was like, well, you better get that out of your backpack, and they were hearing and standing right there. It's like, okay, yeah, technically it's sort of a computer-ish device, but they don't, at the same time, what they don't know, it's just something to get people asking a ton of questions and whatever.
It's interesting. I had a thought about that, though.
Go ahead, Herbie.
I mean, okay, it's good for us that, you know, like, it's one less thing we have to worry about. But what is disturbing is, you know, if they overlook such things, you know, you do also have to wonder at the same time what else could they potentially overlook from dangerous people.
Right.
Well, yeah, because anybody can pass anything, you know. It could be a computer, or it could look like a computer device. But once you're on the plane, you could pop off something without the flight attendant looking, and boom, guess what? Disaster.
They do have some ways of detecting some explosives, so...
Oh, yeah, and they still... And then, of course, if they ever choose to randomly go through my bags, because sometimes I have, like, my needles and stuff in there, you know, I tell them, and so then they sometimes ask about it, sometimes don't. But I find it so much... I prefer to get SkyCap assistance at the airport the entire time I'm there.
Yeah.
I'd rather have somebody drop me off rather than, like, parents or somebody else taking me through security, because then they're more anxious.
Yeah.
I've just flown a ton of times. I used to fly, like, a few times a year as a kid when I go to summer camps, or maybe twice, I don't know. And I've flown a lot, of course, going to college away from home. So I am so used to the drill, I don't need anybody else with me being anxious about it. It's just whatever. So
yeah. No, that's what I did. I had SkyCap with me the entire time, as Chanel said. You know, all my sister did was drop me off at the counter, check me in, whatever. You know, told them where I was going, what I needed. You know, even though it was in the it was on the flight confirmation slip, but she still reminded him, look, he's going to need assistance going to the gate, through security, and wherever else he needs, you know, check with him. But she didn't, like, overdo it either. She just gave him down the basics. Didn't give him a whole spiel.
Right.
Like your mom or dad or somebody would do.
And at the same time, though, I would prefer, like, to just me personally talk for myself. Like, I'm going to need assistance through. Because then that way the SkyCap, I don't know. I just prefer, it's just part of me.
Well, she talked to the agent, but when it came to the SkyCap, I did the talking.
Right.
You know, when it came to the agent,
that
just to make
sense.
Sure my boarding passes were printed and my bags were checked and everything, then
yeah,
at least somebody was looking out for me. But once the SkyCap picked me up, then that's when I, should I say, demonstrated my needs. Like you said, you know, you go through security, if you have to go use the restroom, they're willing to take you to the restroom, or if you want to grab something to drink or eat, they'll take you to the food court or whatever is open at the airport.
And the one airport...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish.
No.
The one airport that Herbie and I have been in where they have not been very helpful is Phoenix. What happens is, like, we will... Sometimes we're going into Phoenix just, like, on a layover. And so we get off the plane. They'll put us on a cart. We want to, like, do up our seatbelt for us on the cart and then undo them. But then when we get off, it's like, oh, you're just, here, you're on your own, here, you're right, you're close to your gate, whatever. And so Herbie and I have, sometimes in the Phoenix airport, gone scouting the bathroom or food court or whatever a few times, and then usually gotten help, from there. But Phoenix is not the best airport, just FYI.
At least for the blind people, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's good to know, because our experiences are different. You know, just because I flew into Dallas or Houston, George Bush, that is, or Dallas-Fort Worth, because I did not realize that Dallas had two airports and Houston had two airports. So I should probably reiterate. I flew into Houston, George Bush. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Bush is more of a pain when you're coming on Metrolift, because like we did have one time, even though we told them we dropped off Terminal A, we had a vehicle that could only drop us off at Terminal A.
Mm-hmm.
So that was more of a thing coming to you, and then of course it being around Christmas and being more crowded.
Yeah, because according to what the Allens have told me, though, there's two airports in Houston, so I should probably clarify just to be safe. You know, and I was also reminded on the way back that there are two airports in Dallas. So.
And I didn't know that. So there I learned something new.
No, there's Dallas Love Field, I think it's called. And then there's Dallas Fort Worth.
Okay, I've heard of that. I have heard of that other airport, but I thought it was.
And I guess Dallas Love is like a hobby, I think, from what I was told.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's for smaller people that go, like, they service up all the way up to McAllen. You know, which is the southern Texas. They serve all the way to the Mexican border, which is McAllen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they reach out from Dallas Love all the way to McAllen. And, like, of course, Dallas Fort Worth is probably more of a sub-international type deal, where you have flights that leave out of there to California and other places.
Hobby has a little bit more reach. And I think you can't even fly international there out of
pop. I think Hobby's only one Southwest.
They have an American Airlines.
Okay, so maybe it's one or two.
It's a smaller port.
It's a smaller. They definitely have fewer airlines.
Yes. Kind of like Little Rock, which I'll get to in a minute. So, the SkyCap agent, you know, of course, I've talked to them. I said what my needs were. They did take me to a restroom because I had a long wait. And before I sat down, the SkyCap person was nice enough to orient me and said, okay, if I don't show up for some reason or if the agent ever forgets you, this is how you get to the gate and somebody will sure be noticed to see you. You know, at least they were nice enough to orient me.
That's good.
I wore a safety vest, one of those construction worker safety vests.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's a tip for blind people. Always wear something noticeable.
Maybe.
Yeah, I had not thought of that.
Especially if you're going to be flying alone or anything to that sort, you want to make sure that you're noticeable. Okay. Exactly. Around Christmas time is a good thing, because that way you stand out more from the crowd than, of course, you'll probably match with the SkyCap people, but everybody knows that you're not SkyCap because, you know, of course, the SkyCap don't use canes. So that would be the only only advantage is, you know, a blind person wearing something reflective like a construction vest would. So that would be tip number two, I should say. Tip number one is ask for orientation in case they forget about you, because even though they tell the station agent, hey, you know, he needs assistant, he needs to be the first one to board or whatever. Okay. If they forget you, don't panic. This is where you need to know what your bearings are around you. Okay. You need to know, for example, okay, if I hear the speaker where they're announcing the airline, okay, it's gonna be to my left. And if I hear people talking, okay, it's gonna be to my left and straight in front of me. Type of deal. So I guess you could say be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, that's so true, because even if I don't get orientation, I can still walk to where I hear the agent or walk to where I hear a bunch of people, and then somebody will direct me.
Yeah, so that's rule number one. Rule number two, at least in my case, or etiquette number two, is wear something reflective, such as a safety vest in my case. That way, again, you know, people will notice you, and when they see someone with a cane, yeah, they'll notice, but they wouldn't pay much attention. But when they see the cane and the construction vest, then that's when they'll be like, wait a minute, maybe he does need help. Because I, you know, two or three people led me to the agent as soon as I stood up from my chair, and free boarding was first, if you must. That's when I got help from the agent, because, you know, it happens. Let's be fair. You can't always depend on people to remember things, because they have so much other things to remember, such as getting other people situated, or you always have stragglers, you know, at the last minute checking in and trying to print their pre-boarding passes or whatever. You know, you're always going to have that. So my advice to you would be, never depend on SkyCab agents to, you know, remember that you exist, or the ticket agent. If they do, that's great. That's a bonus. You know, but if they don't freak out and start throwing a fit. Your best advocate is
yourself.
Put
another way, have multiple resources.
Exactly. Thank you, Chanel. That's in summary. Have multiple resources. Then, when the agent takes you to the airplane, you know, of course, you need to tell them what your needs are. Even though you have it confirmed, you need to be your own advocate and tell them what your needs are. But of course, you have to do it in a nice, professional way. You want to treat them the way you want to be treated. You know, if you're going to treat them like dirt, they're going to turn around and treat you like dirt. But on the other hand, if you say, you know, ma'am or sir, I would appreciate it if you tell me when we're going down an incline, or if terrain changes from the runway to the, or not the breezeway, whatever they call it, to the aircraft. You know, something to that effect. You know, you need to advocate for yourself, and use, if you feel comfortable, use the sighted guide method. You know, and if possible, if you don't feel comfortable, you know, don't let them do what's best for you. You need to be your own advocate. And in my case, I never went in a wheelchair. You know, because and maybe Chanel can elaborate on that.
Yeah, I actually prefer. I don't need people to tell me about inclines. Okay, I guess it's one thing if I'm not using my cane, but I'm always using my cane, and so a lot of the time I just prefer to follow the agent down, or I'm so used to doing those gangplank thingies that... I'm sorry, Herbie was saying Metrolift is getting home late. Anyway, everybody's needs, are different. You know, you want to be informed of the stuff and whatever, and I don't necessarily need that, but I do want to be told, okay, how many aisles back am I? Where are my nearest exits? Well, I want to know that, but...
Yep. When on the aircraft, that's another point. When on the aircraft, before they go and do the announcements and before everybody pre-boards, depending on the flight attendant, they will walk you through that. But when in doubt, always ask, where's my nearest lavatory? As Chanel pointed out, where's my nearest exit? How do I page you for help?
Yep.
You know, and if you have trouble, this is the time to ask them, how do I adjust my seatbelt? You know, that or how do I recline my seat or whatever? Or where's my tray table? You know, stuff like that. Be familiar with your surroundings on the aircraft, if you can.
Yeah.
Especially if you know you're going to have a 3 or 4 hour flight like I did.
Hey, this is Shannon. You know.
In general, your tray table is always going to be in this, like, the seat back that's ahead of you. And, I forget what else, but...
Sometimes the tray table, in my case, depending on the airline, mine were actually inside the armrest.
Oh, I've had those too. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I guess you could say that's etiquette number 3 or 4. So I get on the plane, and of course, gave me all these orientation to what we discussed about. As a recap, they gave me the ins and outs of the exits, the lavatory, how do you page a flight attendant, how do you adjust your seatbelt, your tray table, and all that fun stuff. Luckily, I was sitting behind first class. So you can imagine quite a bit of leg room I had.
Oh, nice.
Have you sat behind a Herbie?
What?
Have you ever sat behind first class?
I have sat behind first class. I even sat in first class once.
So what's the difference between economy coach versus first class?
There really isn't much. You get more, like, you get your drink in a glass. People that drink alcohol, I think, get the most benefit. Airline seats used to be more different. So there was kind of a bit more noticeable difference between first class and second class with the amount of seat width you had, but now that it's actually, it's really kind of the same material now, and it's just a tad bit more comfy, at least from my perspective, but nothing to pay a whole lot of extra for.
Right.
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I thought the food was better in first class, but this was back in the 90s, when airline food really was horrid, and it's not so much horrid, it was... Yeah, it's gone from to okay.
Mm-hmm. And you were going to say something, Chanel, to that effect?
Yeah, I thought the food, like, first of all, I never paid for it. My ticket got upgraded for free one time for some reason. I don't know why. The food sounded too gourmet-ish for my taste. I didn't have any, but I think I had eaten before I had gotten on the plane.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got more refills on my water sitting in the regular part of the plane than I did in first. I'm always so thirsty when I travel, and now I try to buy a water bottle in the airport after I go through security.
Now, is that because of atmospheric changes, you would think, or?
Yeah, I think so, and then I'm just naturally thirsty, but yeah, I think a lot of it is the atmospheric. You know, because my skin really dries out too when I fly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you can't take lotion or anything because they consider it.
No.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You used to be able to.
You used to. Yeah. Lots of things have changed before 9/11, tended, you know.
But you know, I think it's a good thing. Who wants to have people putting on lotions and perfumes while they're pressure?
That's true.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of people with allergic reactions.
Yep. Oh yeah.
That is true. I agree with you there.
No, the one thing that has changed for the better about flying is, you know, they've become a lot more lax on how you can use devices. You know, it used to be they were so picky that, oh, you have to have your device while takeoff and landing.
Oh,
and
gosh, yeah.
Like, you can have it on more, and, you know, it's getting to the point. Like, my mom was able to listen to my show the other week while flying, and that I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the Wi-Fi, yeah.
Yeah.
But some airlines do charge for the Wi-Fi. The only time
they
it's complimentary.
They do charge, but it would be worth it.
Yeah. The only time it was complimentary is when you have to check your status and whatnot.
Yep. And
I think she even got a discount because she some miles or something.
Yeah, reward members get... like the one time I tried to use a Wi-Fi flight, you had to be a rewards member to really be able to use it. So, under the rewards ID.
One of those perks.
It would be nice to be able to still be connected while in the plane, because especially for me, like, a lot of my music collection is in the cloud, so...
Yeah.
I would like to be connected. So if I want to hear a song, but I don't have it on my phone...
Yeah, you can access your cloud and...
Yeah.
Do it that way. Yeah, that makes sense. So that's another thing people, I guess you could say, need to realize, that although the flights do offer Wi-Fi, it is not a complimentary service. This is something that you're going to have to check with your airline to see how much they charge while in flight.
Maybe we'll see the day when we can actually use our cell phones normally while flying, especially if they, you know, use more satellite navigation systems and things like that. So,
yeah. Yep, I was able to have my phone on airplane mode. I didn't use it much, but, you know, at least I was able to check the time. Not that it mattered, because you're still stuck on the way over from here to Houston. I got stuck.
And that's another thing I'd love to see about when flying, too. When switching time zones, how good will the phone be about switching the time zone automatically while you're flying?
Yeah, especially when you fly through, like, six different states, in my case.
Yeah.
You know, when I flew from California to Nevada to Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas.
And what if I want to beat people at Dice World while I'm flying? I should be able to do that, right?
That's true. Chanel brought up an interesting point. She said purchasing a water bottle at the airport. And I'm glad she brought that up because...
Oh, yeah.
...of the fact that depending on the airline you fly, I don't want to say most, but depending on the airline you fly, they only offer you complimentary drinks, you know, such as coffee, tea, water, soda, whatever. Anything else, you pay for. And it could be as low as like $6 for something simple to however much it is. So, as Chanel pointed out, especially if you have a layover like in Houston or somewhere, like I did, look, yeah, it's going to be pricier, but you're going to get full much easier if you visited a Burger King, McDonald's, or in my case, a Whataburger. You're going to get full with that kind of food versus what the airlines offer.
Yeah. That being said, the airlines has some awesome, well, we flew, what was it, United or when we flew to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this wonderful stuff. I finally looked it up a few weeks ago. It's like this hard brownie stuff. And I finally discovered by typing all these weird words into Google and getting some strange results, I finally discovered it was brownie brittle. And Amazon has it. And, well, you can even find it in the regular store. It is so, it's like brownie, but it's hard because it's, you know, there's, it doesn't rise. It's, and oh, it is so good.
Brownie brittle. So when I was in Houston, you know, and I was waiting for food after I got dropped off, whatever, to my gate. I was waiting for food. I was waiting for somebody, and I had a 2-hour layover. I was on a Skype call with somebody, and somebody said, and quote, this person was blind. He said, why don't you get up and start waving your cane?
Oh my.
I'm like, wow. No.
What did I miss?
Somebody told Mondo to get up and start waving his cane. He was talking to somebody on Skype. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I did not do that.
I tried to do that once when I was hopelessly lost.
Yeah.
And I was in the freezing cold and there were a bunch of cars going by, so I literally tried flipping down cars with my cane. So it's
and
no
did
guarantee
you succeed?
That I'll get anybody. No, I did not.
I figured.
And that was most unfortunate for, I mean, yes, okay, it was a dangerous thing, but when you're faced with the potential of unknown drivers versus very, very
freezing
cold winter temperatures, you have to take your chance one way or the other.
So how did you get out of that situation?
I kept wandering around. I kept crossing over and trying to find what I was looking for, and then finally somebody recognized me and actually gave me a ride to the bus stop.
Okay. I was gonna say, that's probably the better bet. Waving your cane doesn't necessarily give you good results.
No, but you'd think the fact that somebody was standing on the side of the road waving their cane might entice somebody to be a little bit curious and to make sure that the person was...
You would think,
okay.
But...
maybe they thought I was insane, but...
And that's... At least that's my
fine
own self-image. I did not want people to think I was cuckoo. You know, especially
no,
if I'm waving my cane up in
the air. If you're suddenly caught... In below zero temperatures, and it suddenly changes to that, and you're not... You don't have proper gear or whatever, and
well, maybe, yeah, I would.
You're the least of your worries, at least in my experience, is your self-image.
Right. No, that I could see. But what I'm saying is in an airport...
Yeah, that's different.
That's what I was referring to. No, in an airport, yeah. You try to be as professional as you can.
Yeah, that's a different...
Yeah.
So what did your Shirley do? So the agent... Because you always have agents going around. They're checking people's tickets. You know, they scan them, whatever, just to make sure they're at the right gate. So there was a person about 2 or 3 seats down from where I was sitting... So I heard that the little machine, barcode scanner machine deal, where the agent, you know, was checking people's boarding passes.
Uh-huh.
So right as soon as she did the last click and I heard the little last beep, I flagged down the agent. She came over. I'm like, you know what? I have an hour and a half wait. I'm hungry. It's 7 in the morning. I really don't want to buy food on the plane. I don't trust... Because it's my first time, I don't trust my credit card, but that's besides the point. You know, giving it to the airlines, whatever. Could you take me to somewhere, please, where I can get some food? I hear Starbucks behind me, but You know, I want to know if there's anything around us other than Starbucks. If there isn't, yeah, then fine. You know, I'll have a Starbucks. I'll pick me up a coffee and a croissant or something. You know, I'm fine with that. But I would at least want to know what other options are available. So they were cool about it. They're very professional. They're like, okay. So she starts describing me all these businesses. And out of all the places, she mentions this place called Whataburger. And I'm like, I gotta try this place. So, because, of course, yours truly, Herbie, was telling me about it, Whataburger, months before I even considered taking this camping trip. You know, and I remembered something to that conversation about Whataburger. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try that. A burger would probably do me more justice than a Starbucks and a croissant. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, so, especially since you were going to not have meat for a week.
Exactly. Thank you for reminding me about that, Chanel. So, I went to Whataburger. She pawns me off to this skycap person who just got done eating. So I don't know what's going on. So they were nice enough to read me the menu, the skycap person, what that is. And she's like, this is what I recommend. She had me get a bacon cheeseburger because I've never had this place. So I asked, you know, what's the best thing that's going to fill me up? Not too much, but just enough to where I don't have to worry about buying food when I'm on the plane and all that fun stuff. She's like, well, try this burger with fries. And man, I tell you, if you haven't had Whataburger, believe me, it is something to die for.
But you forgot the jalapenos.
And you I don't do jalapenos unless you want to send me to the hospital.
Oh, no. Okay.
That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, unless you want to send me to the hospital.
Well, then how about grilled onions and peppers?
I probably could have done the grilled onions, but I was being professional. You know, I don't want to smell like onions, especially if I'm talking to the female flight attendant.
You won't.
So, 7 in the morning, I never thought of it, but they actually served hamburgers at the airport. Not breakfast, but actual hamburgers. And you would think at 7 in the morning, you would think they would serve breakfast.
Well, I think they recognize that people are coming in from all sorts of time zones, and you never know what they're going to be in the mood for, so.
I eat dinner for breakfast, no matter in the that's first thing in the morning, so whatever.
And hey, if McDonald's can serve breakfast food at any time.
That's true. I didn't think about that. That's good logic.
Why can't people serve lunch food any time?
Yep.
That's good logic.
And places like Jack in the Box and IHOP, they've been serving food 24/7, like any kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's something to know. That's a good pointer. I didn't think about that. So, yeah, Chanel stated, you know, if you can, buy a water bottle, especially if you know you're going to be drinking a lot of water and you're going to get thirsty due to atmosphere changes and all that fun stuff. Or in my case, if you know you're going to have a 3-hour layover, you know, try to get some food, some decent food.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, because airline foods, some may be good or some may be horrid. And so you're kind of taking a risk there.
Not so, only that, but the airline food, sometimes you can have like the stuff that maybe you have to eat with silverware, and that's all well and great if you've got lots of space, but if you're eating off of a tiny tray table, it's not the most convenient thing.
I didn't think about that, so that's a great point.
Sometimes airport food can be a lot more appealing than the airline, depending on really how much gourmet-ish stuff you want.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, Chanel and Herbie. Thanks, you know, about the if you're trying to eat with the silverware on a tiny seat.
And might as well eat food you're going to be comfortable with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good pointer too. Eat food that you must be comfortable with, even if it's finger food, but it's something.
Yep.
You know, even if it's a hamburger and fries, you know that with a hamburger you don't have to cut it. Well, unless if you're picky, then you do cut it, but.
But then again, too, the school for the blind, and this is true, folks. Now, this might offend somebody, I don't know, but there was a student once that the principal would come by, and she was eating fries, and the principal got on her for not using a fork.
Oh, what? My.
Yeah.
Why do you have to
eat? I kid you not.
Why would you have to eat fries with a fork?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my.
I won't mention his name on here, but you can go figure out who the principal of the school that I went to was back when I went to it, and you can ask them.
Oh my gosh. Fries with a fork. That's an interesting...
Yeah.
That's a good topic to talk about. That's... Wow.
Your hands can fork them into your mouth.
Exactly. I mean, I don't even have ketchup per se, but if you're a ketchup lover, I guess I can understand why he would want you to use a fork, but even so...
Yeah.
You know? So I guess in my case, I would not use a fork because I don't do ketchup, but I guess... I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't do ketchup either, so I really couldn't tell you if I'd use a fork or with it or not, because I dip fries in ranch, but I dip them in it, not...
Yeah, and not grease yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I like those tips you guys pointed out, you know, the airport food versus airlines. Now, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Also, if you can, if you have time... comfortably, try to use the lavatory at the airport versus on the airplane.
Yeah.
Well, here's one of these interesting things that I've noticed.
Actually, yeah, go ahead.
So, you've got your choice when it comes to bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't like either of them, but you can use these enormous airport bathrooms where you have to navigate your way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And with a backpack, that's really fun. Or, in sharp contrast, you can wait to get on the airplane and use these teeny tiny little bathrooms.
I've actually used both.
Yep.
Yeah, so have I. But honestly, okay, I don't particularly care for the crampedness, but at least with the bathrooms, with the exception of sometimes knowing how to flush the toilet, at least I know my way around it.
Yeah, you don't have to wander. I know. Sometimes people want to take me to, like, the handicapped stall. They're well-meaning, but it's so huge. It's more of a inconvenience to figure my way out around there than I'm just talking in general than it is around a regular stall.
Actually, because I had a... I waited till I got to Arkansas to use the restroom. But, because in Houston I didn't use it. However, I did use the aircraft on the way to Arkansas. You know? And it's just like a charter bus restroom if you bring the charter bus. You know, it's kind of like that setup. So it really wasn't that bad like people described it. You know, if you're comfortable navigating or fitting in a small cramped space like that, then kudos to you. But to me, when I have to go, I have no choice. I'm going to go where I'm going to go. And that's the aircraft restroom. Or the lavatory, as they call it. But I've also used... And it's funny, on the way back from Dallas... In Dallas, rather, before I boarded... The Skycap took me to one of those single family... What do they call it? The family unisex restrooms.
Oh, okay.
Those are nice. They're huge. Because, you know, you have to navigate with a stroller or a suitcase or whatever you have, you know? They're huge, but at least you can find your way there, and it's a one person. It's not a public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've used a unisex restroom. And in Arkansas, the agent actually led me to the partition where the urinals were and directed me how to get there. You know, so there's always ways around that, but... If you can, and depending how comfortable you are, try to relieve yourself before you get on the plane. Especially if you have those jitters and you're afraid of takeoff and landing. Or if you're in my case, you drink caffeine, like coffee and all that stuff. Every once in a while, you have to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to relieve yourself there. Somewhere where you feel comfortable. And I guess finally to close out the airport, and I think I've told the story off air to you people, but for people in general, when I got to Arkansas, and maybe I don't know what I'm doing next year, if I'm going to buy a locator or if I'm going to put a Braille tag, I don't know what I'm going to do, but somehow United lost my bag when I got to Arkansas, you know, so the driver from camp who came to pick me up, you know, I handed my claim check and we were looking for a bag and it was nowhere to be found. So he he went over, he rounded up security, he rounded up the airline folks, and it turns out that somebody had placed it in unclaimed baggage. So we were there for 10 minutes, tracking down my bag.
That's annoying.
Yeah. And I know Herbie and Chanel had experience with that.
Make you freak out. Yeah.
I did freak out for a little bit, but still. You know, this is your first time in years flying. To get faced with something like that, blind or
right.
not.
Yep.
Like I said, I think I've told you that story.
I've never actually had my luggage lost. I think there was once or twice where it wasn't found, and so I actually was able to get it delivered to me, or they sent, you know, the next day.
Well, yeah. But yeah. First time they did deliver it to me. I remember that. So that was back in 99.
Herbie's mom, well, they, you know, put Braille on everything, but that's the one way we can identify our stuff is putting a Braille, that, and, you know, putting, like, colored ribbons on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the Braille tag is really helpful for us once somebody grabs it just to verify, yeah, this is our bag. Because, Herbie, didn't you get somebody else's bag before by mistake?
Yeah.
I think Herbie did, but I don't know where he is. He got...
Oh, nothing.
I was asking, didn't you get somebody else's bag by mistake at the airport once?
When I first came to Houston, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it looked enough like yours, and then you actually went and opened it.
Yeah, the problem is it was grabbed by the... Yeah, it looked a lot like mine, and it was a case that did not have a label on it. And, nobody knew it was not mine until I went... And the thing is, it didn't have any of my stuff. It had some odds and ends in it, but it wasn't stuff I would normally use. So I didn't even go looking in it till like 2 weeks later.
Oh. And how did you
and
get your backpack?
And it's funny because... What's actually funny... Okay, so I gotta tell you a story about this. So... What's actually funny...
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't looking for it. But... The room I was staying in, I saw the case in there, but I assumed that it belonged to the people who we were staying with. So I'd seen the case a million times. I didn't know till several weeks later that it was a suitcase I'd accidentally grabbed from the airport. I assumed it was some of their stuff, and the first time I knew was when we were doing some rearranging, and I said, I thought this thing was your guys' stuff, and they said no. So that was the first I knew we ever had a problem.
And so how did you get it back?
When my mom came, we took it to the airport, and thankfully the tag had the guy's name on it and all that, so we took it to the airport, and then they were able to, the other guy had... turn my bag in, so we were able to get them switched out.
Oh. That worked. Yeah, it's luck.
It was unfortunate we did have to wait for several weeks before my mom came to help us. In a situation like that, it's really like having a little bit of help sooner would have perhaps been
nicer.
But yeah.
Especially
so,
guy,
but what do you advise?
I've never tried a locator tag, though it's not a bad idea, but definitely...
What is that, actually?
It's a little tag that you clip on a bag and you click the remote, I guess, and it tells you where your bag is.
Okay. Oh, that would... Okay.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. So either that or... But if nothing else, at least a Braille tag where ours has our names in Braille on both the outside and the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And have it on, like, the carry handle at the top so you can just easily look at the tag, and that's... one way to positively identify.
Yeah.
And also, when they, if you have, especially if you have more than one suitcase, make sure you look at both before you leave the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, because if I'd have done that, that would have told me right then that, but again, it didn't help that in my situation, it was a suitcase that I was unfamiliar with. And so that was it would have been a lot different if it had been, like, say, my only suitcase and I'd packed it. versus the circumstances of moving requiring a separate suitcase for some odds and ends. So
yeah.
Mine was kind of an interesting circumstance.
See, mine was only one suitcase, and just that one, because my mom puts ribbons and whatnot. She forgot to tell me what color the ribbons were and all that other stuff. So having someone tell you, someone sighted, tell you what
ribbons
color the ribbons
are good for the sighted. I mean,
yeah.
they're good for that. But for you, if you don't have any sight braille tags, at least.
Well, that's what I was saying when you weren't paying attention, was that the ribbons were good for the sighted person, but the braille tag is a final check for us to make to make sure we've got it.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's something I'm going to invest in next year, is a locator tag system.
And you might... Let me tell you, you could even impress people. You'll encounter some people who have never seen Braille before, and they will think it's the coolest thing. At least here in Houston.
Right?
I so wish I'd have recorded that just to really get people's reactions.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I'd be encountering at the time.
Yeah. But, yeah, just, you know, I hope these have been helpful tips that we've offered, at least in my experience of flying, and Herbie and Chanel's experience in flying, because honestly, that is an important topic, believe it or not, because at some point, sooner or later, you're going to have to fly it on your own. Like in my case, the only reason I went to Arkansas, which I'm actually glad, for two reasons. One, I'm glad that the California camp got canceled for various reasons, including the fact that it just wasn't as friendly, if you must. They didn't have any community involvement. It was the boring things every day. And
now,
you were stuck with your cabins.
You've not really been clear on is, like, before when you left, you were nervous about flying out of state.
Yes.
So how did flying out of state compare to your experiences from before when you were just flying in state?
Well, in state, I only flew once. And that was with United from San Francisco to Chico, which is like 45 minutes. But out of state, out of the country, I flew with my mom. Okay. But when I flew this time on my own, it actually felt good to be recognized for my independence. You know, it felt good that I was able to use the skills I was taught growing up. How to navigate public assistance, how to navigate various forms of assistance, whether it's on the airline, whether it's on the ground, or when you meet up with the interested parties who's going to come to pick you up. So it was nerve-wracking, I'll admit that, but in the end, I think it was worth it.
You know,
it's so much worth it just because that, to me, was a self-test of, am I ready to be independent? If I get a job, and if your boss says, I booked your ticket, and that's another thing I forgot to cover. My sister-in-law, bless her heart, and if she listens, good. And if not, then I know she'll listen on the podcast, but that's besides the point. But my sister-in-law, which you guys have heard me talk about, Lindsay, bless her heart, did the nice thing of helping me book my tickets, because I took two airlines, United on the way to Arkansas, and American on the way back from Arkansas. Okay. She booked my tickets through Expedia because that was the cheapest deal we found. Okay. And I asked her, hey, if there's a way to let them know that I need accommodations, could you please put them in? And Expedia didn't have a way to do that. So we still went ahead and booked my tickets. So now the responsibility lies upon me. Okay, once she booked those tickets and once they were paid for, I immediately called Expedia to let them know what happened, to give them the feedback. Of course, I did it in a positive way, and I said, look, I had assistance in booking the flights because your site was not user-friendly for those who are blind and visually impaired who use screen readers. There was no way for me to identify that I need accommodations at the airport and on the flight, so I need your help. So they were able to book in, at least for American, because United would not let them do that. So once I got off the phone with Expedia and we got all that fixed, I called United, and I spoke to their accessibility department, and the same thing I told them. And they're generous. As long as you tell them what's going on, they will be willing to not only put your accommodations in place, but to also help you with the seat arrangements so that you're able to have your seats booked ahead of time. That way you know where you're going to be sitting and all that fun stuff. This stuff may seem irrelevant right now, but trust me, it's going to save you a massive headache if you're not careful with that. Like it happened in my case. And this proves to be, from the moment my sister-in-law booked the tickets to the moment I landed back in California, this proves to me that if somebody else were to book my ticket and, you know, they weren't able to find how to put your services and accommodations in place, that you, as a flyer, need to have that responsibility to make sure that that's all set in place before your flight so you don't surprise people when you first walk into the airport.
I'm trying to remember because I know I've used some of those flight sites in the past to book my trips, but I can't remember if I specified that stuff. I don't know why. I mean, I know I have when the option's available, but I think just generally, even just calling ahead to the airport to say, look, I'm flying, calling it the day ahead, I need someone to assist me. Is that, you know, what you did is awesome because, yeah, you made sure you were prepared.
Well, yeah, because but if you know, yeah. Let's say, for example, especially what happened was the few days before I was to leave, I had so much stuff going on, I forgot to even, you know, I would have forgotten to do that stuff. So calling them right away, especially when it's fresh in your mind, is probably your best bet. That way, especially in your case, if you have food allergies or if you have other conditions besides visual impairment or whatever your primary challenge is, because I don't like to use the term disability, but whatever your primary challenge is, if you know you have more than one deal, the more time you're able to give them notice, to me, I feel that the better they'll be they'll be ready for you when you walk into that airport and start going through the process. So that's how I treated it when Lindsay booked those flights for me.
You know, although I don't think it really helps them get us assistance any sooner, whether we, I mean, like you said, it's awesome that you did that, but I think like at some airport, Bush or where, it can be forever, well not forever, but you know, when Metrolift drops us off to, you know, walking in and maybe we go talk to an agent, but we could be waiting around for a while for SkyCat. I don't know. What do you think, Kirby?
Yes, it doesn't help that with Metrolift, we can't tell them exactly when we'll be there. But it is going to be a different experience with a bigger airport versus a smaller airport.
Right.
That's where, though, if you're using a service like Metrolift or an airport shuttle, make sure you give yourself plenty of time so that way if they're running behind, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, that's the piece I wanted to say for last. You know, if anything else, make sure, even if it's the day before, like you said, or a month before, like I did, give or try your best to give your, at least your departure airlines, enough notice so that when you walk in, at least it's in the system and they can't say, well, it's not in the system or this, you know. You at least say, oh, yes, I called on this day. Here's my phone. Here's the log. This is who I spoke to. Keep track of all the people you talk to. That way, if something happens, you're covered.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, like Kirby's and Chanel, you know, they probably called David before. I called a month before just because it was fresh in my mind. And I knew that, you know, several days before leading to my departure, it's going to be stressful. Hectic.
Yeah.
A lot of shopping, a lot of last minute stuff to take care of, you know, including emailing or not emailing, but texting the camp coordinator to make sure that my transportation is in place when I get to the airport. So there's a lot of things that's involved. It's not just I'm going to book a reservation and go. So.
Yeah.
So speaking of flying, are you going to try to visit us while we're in Palm Springs?
I don't know. That's a possibility. That may be a possibility.
Yep. That would make for almost a great show, though. A joint Mexican melting pot Christmas Herbie Allen show.
No, Herbie. You know my family. You know my family.
Well, they can listen. Time they listen to ours. That makes sense.
Okay, but you know how unpredictable things are.
But see, I'm trying to tell you how we're going to work it here. See, I'll find some decent Bluetooth speakers that can be blasting say by the pool. So people have no choice but to listen.
There you go.
It's all a matter of promoting the station.
Yeah.
I want to thank Herbie and Chanel for helping me cover this segment. I know it was boring. Last week we had the punt part where we talked about what Camp Yorktown Bay was like.
Yeah, so, they're still both as important.
You know, so I want to thank you both for contributing to the airport security and tips and advice for those who are traveling. I know you guys have a traveling in plan, so I'm sure you guys will use some of this stuff we've learned together from safety vest to whatnot.
Good review, and the safety vest is a great idea. We had not thought of that.
Or finding the locator deal.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
look into that.
There's a lot of things we learned here during our discussion on the travel. Also, I will probably be covering this a little bit for those of you who may be interested on whitecanetravel.com, just the way it sounds. whitecanetravel.com. This is where I'll probably be covering a lot of this as well that you guys have heard, so be on the lookout for that. Yours truly may be part of a future podcast for White Cane Travel, since this covers a lot of security. This would cover a lot of the travel stuff, from airport security to navigating the system of airlines and all that fun stuff. This concludes the airport security and airlines segment. I hope you enjoyed the show, and if you have any questions or would like to give feedback, you may do so by submitting your email to djmando@986themix.com. Take care, and until next time, I hope to be back here soon.